Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 212, the very unfestive holiday season. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
What's going on, Ant? Look at that. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I'm being festive. I'm trying to be festive. Look at me. Festive.
You are. I would, but I don't look fit in anything.
Yeah, that looks awesome. Fit in this. Yeah, it's really cool.
When did you get that?
Last year.
Oh, okay. Actually.
I wore it to my company holiday Christmas party, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I honestly think it was funny, too, because we had it after work on a Friday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, so I brought this. I'm like, well, I'll change it to something festive. And then my friend who came with me as my date for the party, she was in something completely festive. She had like this really cool like red top with a green Christmassy skirt and everything. And we walk into the party. Nobody else was dressed festive. So we were the only ones. But we did get a lot of compliments.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Everyone's like, we should have done that.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, you guys got in the Christmas spirit. I wish I did that. I'd be like, why didn't you? You know, we just stick out.
Well, this is our Christmas party, this episode.
This is basically our Christmas party, and that just made me depressed because it's the two of us over Zoom.
Welcome to real life.
Ah, real life. I know it well.
So everyone out there, you know, watching, first of all, on YouTube, remember, hit that like button. Hit that thumbs up. That's what helps us get known out there in the land of YouTube. And, of course, on Instagram and wherever you're listening to the podcasts, definitely subscribe. And we'll give more deets on that later on. But, yes, you know, tis the season, and Santa actually arrived a little early for me because mm-hmm. for, I don't know, 3 years almost, 2.5 years, you know, I was waiting for this system to arrive, and I kind of want to get right into it for anyone who may have missed it. I finally got my Atari VCS.
And congratulations on that. Polymega, take a note.
Technically, Polymega was ordered, I think, after the Atari VCS. So right now, Atari VCS has the record for longest time from order to receiving.
But let me ask you, though. Did Atari say, like, were there delays on it? Did they say, like, no, it's coming out around this time?
They kept pushing it back, back. And, again, not blaming necessarily. Some of it was pandemic-related. I think some wasn't. Mm-hmm. But bottom line, again, for those who missed the video, which is on our Instagram page and Facebook, I'll put it up on YouTube shortly. there's our little guest. Here is the Atari VCS.
That looks like a speaker. Oh, hi. That looks like a speaker panel.
Well, remember how the original Atari used to look with those ribs?
Well, I have the original Atari behind me. If you look behind my shoulder, see it all the way in the back there?
Yes. Oh, look at that. See, same wood paneling.
Yep, same wood paneling.
Same.
Very cool.
Does it have the same USB inputs and Ethernet port and stuff like that?
Yes, it does.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it has the HDMI, too.
And mine's numbered. Oh, you're not going to be able to see it. It's not going to zoom.
Can't see the number.
No.
So can you read the number off so I can write to Atari and say that mine's been stolen?
This is the Atari VCS Collector's Edition, mm-hmm. Number 3677 out of 6,000.
Nice. So I wonder if they sold them all.
I think so with the collector's editions. Yeah,
that's cool.
So we got two USB ports in the front. This I don't think I really was able to show off. Two in the back. Yep. So four in total. Mm-hmm. The HDMI, the Ethernet. Very it's nice. Also wireless, obviously, and the cool power. And so there's the system.
It's also small.
It is. It really, honestly, it is, and I like that. Mm-hmm. Because I have no idea where I'm putting this. I have like completely run out of room.
Yeah. Well, I trust me. I know the feeling. I'm out of room too. Just look behind me. It's like, I have no space.
I mean, I can make room, but then it's a hump. Cause then I got to pull out the entertainment unit to rewire stuff mm-hmm. again, which I really don't want to do, but I think I'm going to have to.
Well, you know, look,
it's 4K.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that doesn't help because, again, I only have two ports that are 4K.
Well, You're just going to have to live with your Atari games and standard HDMI. Shucks.
Well, that's the fun.
You know, I know that's depriving those games of top quality 4K graphics, but, you know, first world problems.
No, absolutely. And I will cry over it. Here's what's awesome. So to be able to really, and I want to thank Mario to help, who helped out. It's kind of last minute to show it off and everything like that. But with the games on it, yes, you do get right off the bat, you get a collection, which we've owned again. It's one of those situations where we've bought these collections over and over again. In fact, I'm pretty sure I have a bunch of these on the Atari collections, the three volumes that are on Xbox that I have, actually that we have. And
yeah, because we were going to play them together.
We were. We still
and
can.
We never did.
But this arrives with a ton of games. I want to say maybe over 100, because I think when someone asked to try a game out, like I kind of found the list of the Atari VCS collection volume one, and there was a ton more games than I saw.
Oh, cool.
Which was cool. And then for $5, I bought the Atari VCS volume two collection.
Okay.
Not bad. And they gave for free, they gave out Missile Command Reloaded, I think it was called.
Yeah, I saw you play Missile Command. I was shocked.
I hate that game.
I know you do. I love it.
Whether from the 80s or from the 2020s. Yeah. I can't stand it. I will say this, though. When playing the original games, I mean like original games, yeah, those obviously aren't in, well, they're probably in 4K, if you will, but they play like they used to. The Missile Command Reloaded, I'll call it. It's probably the wrong name. That looks like it's in 4K, and I got to admit, it was gorgeous.
Oh, cool.
To look at. Still pain in the ass, but gorgeous to watch.
Yeah, I just don't think you have the dexterity to play it.
I just don't. I get how to play it. I just don't like it.
No, I know. I saw you play it. You were not good.
Also, I showed off a little bit of the game store on there, which is obviously very limited right now because it just came out. But they have a couple of the games, like $5. They have like a couple of modern games, like $25. So there will be some modern stuff on here. I'm not talking, you know, like a PUBG or Fortnite or something. But there'll be new. Some games I've seen on the Switch are on here right now.
Okay.
So that's really, I really didn't buy anything. Oh, I did buy it. I'm sorry. I may cancel it, though, in the meantime, because, again, I don't have the VCS hooked up. For no other reason than I just have to find some room. And after Christmas, because I got some Christmas stuff up, when I take that down, I might be able to fit it. So I might cancel it. But you can subscribe to, it's called Ant Stream Arcade.
Okay.
Anthony has started his own streaming service, hence Ant Stream Arcade.
Oh, nice.
No. So it's actually a really...
Oh, I you did?
Can... you can actually join up to it now. You can use your phone. You can use your computer. I think you can play it on Amazon Fire Sticks, maybe even a Roku. It's this great service. It's like, I want to say like maybe like $8. Don't hold me to the numbers. $8 a month, maybe like $100 for the year. That doesn't make sense, but it's something.
Eight times 12.
And basically, it's just got, it's a streaming service of all these old games. And I'm talking Pac-Man, Asteroids, Double Dragon, Saboteur, to go back that far. Nice. I mean, a ton of games. Definitely check it out. Ant Stream Arcade, you can do a free 1 week trial.
Cool.
And again, even if you don't have the VCS, but it plays a little easier on the VCS, in my opinion. But definitely check that out.
Okay, very cool.
And of course, with game systems, you have to have controllers. So here is the wireless modern
Xbox controller.
Yeah, it actually
looks like the Switch Pro a little bit.
Well, you know, they all look the same. It's like, you know,
they're all the same now.
The iPhone came out, now they all look like iPhones.
Yep.
So here's the modern controller. As you can see, there's one orange pad, directional pad here, and then the orange trigger button.
Yep.
I'm assuming those are orange if you want to play like the old school games to replicate the original controller.
That makes sense.
Otherwise, it's responsive. The D-pad's a little weird because it's more like it's not a traditional D-pad. It's like a circle.
Yeah, it looks like a circle.
That's a little weird, but I'll get used to it. At least it makes it different. But if you want, though, they do have an original wireless Atari controller,
which is really cool. I like that a lot.
This thing is awesome. It's responsive. I thought I broke it when I was twisting it, but mm-hmm. you do that for Breakout.
Yeah, I was going to say they basically replace the paddles.
Yes.
By making the joystick. Yeah,
absolutely. And what's cool is, I don't know if it came through on the video, but when you're playing mm-hmm. and when you move the joystick, this ring around the joystick lights up.
Oh, cool.
And whatever direction you go in, it lights up.
Oh, very cool.
So that's pretty cool. Very, very old school feel when playing with this original controller.
Did you feel like you were like 4 years old?
No, I'm not going to lie. Like, because when you boot it up, like Asteroids is just, you know, because it's A, happens to be the first one that comes on. So you play it first. Like, all right, let me just get in there to play it. And yeah, I got a heavy sense of nostalgia. Mm. Almost to that same feeling I got when I first hooked up the mini NES, the NES Classic mm-hmm. console.
Yep.
And I threw on the filters mm-hmm. to make it look like an old television.
Yeah.
And it just swept over me. Like, I can't, this is what it felt like when I was 6. Or in this case, 4. When I had the Atari.
That's awesome, so, though.
Awesome stuff. Overall, very happy with it. What the part I didn't get a chance to talk about was like the actual, when I booted it up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely takes some time when you first boot it up.
Okay.
Atari has said hardware-wise, it is good to go. Software-wise, they're still working out some bugs, and I think I see where some of that came into play. It took a long time for it to update and everything, not because it's slow, just it was a ton of updates.
Mm-hmm.
To the point I even put a picture up, like it went into the BIOS to update, and I thought the damn thing crashed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it was the way it was booting it up. I did feel in a couple of spots it may have been a little bit of lag between the controller and the system.
Uh-huh.
Again, I'm chalking that up to the software that will be updated down the road. I'm comfortable with that. But otherwise, getting it all booted up, getting it onto the 4K, signing up and everything, that all went pretty easy. After almost 3 years of waiting for this thing, I'm very happy with my VCS, my Atari VCS, my wood paneled Atari VCS, and I will have it hooked up, especially after the new year, and I will be playing it. Oh, you can also, you know, this thing, it has Netflix, it has nice. Prime, it has HBO Max, so it's a streaming service as well.
Perfect. Yeah, that sounds really cool. Yeah. I was on the fence about it only because I personally didn't know what I would do with it because I have all these Atari games in other collections.
More for a hardcore collector.
Yep.
I'm going to say at this point,
I'm a little hardcore. Right. No, collecting.
You're hardcore. You're hardcore. Yeah.
Just look at the consoles behind me.
Absolutely. So you're not missing out on anything. I'll tell you that much, except for maybe like somebody exclusive, like the Missile Command mm-hmm. updated, because they are going to be putting out updated versions, which are supposed to be exclusive to the Atari VCS.
That's but, cool.
And then if you wanted to use it like a dedicated Antstream arcade game system. Which may be a little pricey for that. But in any event.
But is this going to be available? I'm sure it'll be available online for purchase.
Yeah, I want to say Walmart?
Or store-wise, yeah. I mean, it's going to be available somewhere.
I'm yeah, sure. absolutely. So,
Very cool. Well, very, very cool.
So, otherwise, it's on Walmart. Actually, I'll tell you right now. Holy Hannah.
What?
For everything I have, the three items I showed you right now,
mm-hmm.
$390.
Wow.
And ships in March, the end of March.
That seems like a lot.
I feel like I paid just under that.
Okay. That seems high for that console. And what it gives you.
I mean, it is remember, it's more than just the gaming. So it's a lot to it. But nevertheless. Oh, and this one's a different color. This one's the carbon gold.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's different colors, different versions. So
for carbon gold, you pay an arm and a leg.
There you go. All righty.
Actually, that comes out to the same price as the PS5 Digital Edition.
Basically.
gee, which one would I choose if forced?
Well, you already have, maybe. Aren't you getting a PS5?
No, I have a PS5.
Oh, that's right. Oh, no, I'm thinking of something else. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking of the swap. All right.
Nope. So that's it. Well, no, I have another retro console coming.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Eventually.
Which I think, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but I think I know what it is. You have not told me, but I think I know.
No,
what it is.
You haven't. I haven't told you. And to be honest with you, I don't know when I'm going to get it. So when I do get it, I will allow you a guess.
Oh, fair enough.
Before I reveal.
Cool. So. All right. Do you have anything happening?
Let's see. What has happened over the past week on my end?
Just zooming by.
It was a busy week, of course. We're coming up on the holidays, so the mad dash to send presents and all that stuff, because I have to mail them.
Thank God for Amazon.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, and it's funny too, because, you know, normally, you know, I haven't lived in New York in a very long time, and I'm used to getting gifts in the mail, but I do find it weird that, like, when I look under my Christmas tree, I just have a bunch of Amazon boxes and I'm like, oh, I was like, yeah, you know, this is par for the course now. I was like, I get everything through Amazon. I did play another and complete another game.
Wow. Look for at
our
you.
Challenge.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Well, you know, I downloaded that Capcom Beat 'em Up bundle, and Rich and I have been doing like Thursday night gaming.
Okay.
So we plowed through another one on the Capcom Beat 'em Up bundle. Me, myself, Rich, and Jack, his friend Jack, who's really cool. And this time we went through The King of Dragons.
The King of Dragons. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, it came out in 1991. It's a three-player game, which is really cool. And let me tell you something. I have to say, of all the ones on the Beat 'em Up bundle, that one was all of our favorites so far.
Really?
Yeah, it flowed really well. Like the animation, like all of it's really cool. Granted, all of these games play the same.
Yeah.
But that one was just really, really fun. So checking that off the list. That is now the fourth one I finished on there.
And I want to say now that makes you three up on me.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
I believe that is my 10th game that I've completed.
Wow. So you are, that's it. You're not looking back now.
No, I'm just running away with it. And thank you, Rich, for that. Our Thursday night. I think we're Rich now every Thursday night. I'm just going to be like, we're going to play retro games every Thursday and beat them. So I can just add to the list.
And these do count, folks. Multiplayers do count. So
multiplayers count because they are retro. Yeah, so.
Absolutely.
Larry, you'll have to join us once in a while. That way we can keep the numbers the same.
So that way we go along. It.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I beat it. And you're like, well, yeah, I beat it too.
Done with. All right.
But yeah, so I beat another game. In terms of gaming this week, what have I been doing? Played a little more Super Mario Sunshine on my Switch.
Okay. Game is really, I'm sorry I missed out on that.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of fun, but I'm not going to lie. It's definitely not a favorite.
No, not the best. Yeah.
No, I don't. I'm not. It's very, the controls of the hydro thing, whatever the hydro jet, whatever it is.
Flood.
The controls for the flood are just very wonky. It's like, I just can't get a handle on it. And the aim of the water is weird. And so it's still a cool Mario game. Don't get me wrong. I go, definitely just not one of my favorites. It's kind of the way I felt when I tried Luigi's Mansion on GameCube for the first time a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. A friend of mine brought it over and I'm like, oh, cool. I've never tried it. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. And I enjoyed, you know, what I played on it. I go, but again, it was one of those things where it's like the controls were a little clunky. And I just wonder if that was like an issue overall with GameCube games, because maybe that was a thing, because GameCube was the first system. And this is something interesting to talk about for a few minutes, but when we buy a console now, it's like, we always go for obviously the, the staple game that comes with it. So in other words, you bought a Switch, you're buying Mario Odyssey, you're buying Breath of the Wild. It's like, those are the games to own because of obviously the legacy of the games and everything like that. But GameCube was like the first console that I had where I didn't own the games I was supposed to have.
I got you.
I never got Luigi's Mansion. I never got Super Mario Sunshine. I don't even think I had Smash Brothers Melee on GameCube, nor did I buy Mario Kart Double Dash. And no, I don't know.
Really?
No. Wow. See, and I don't know if that was because by the time those games had come out, we were already full-blown in the throes of PS2 and Xbox. So, and I'm wondering if that's what it was. Like, I kind of push the GameCube aside, because it's like, holy cow, I have all these really cool games on my PS2. I have all these really cool games on my Xbox. GameCube can take a back seat.
I don't know. Maybe also it was a time in our lives, because when the GameCube came out, I was in college. I remember it came out like 01. So it was like my junior, maybe senior year.
Yep.
You know, and you know, back then life was definitely different as far as our look on games. You know, we really didn't like the whole idea of retro and going back wasn't really a thing. You know, I remember, I think I told the story here. I was walking through my dorm and I'm like, why does that sound like The Legend of Zelda? Like it seemed foreign to me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Even that Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
I never bought Wind Waker
at least.
Wind Waker I played, but I had Wind Waker. I had the collection, the Zelda collection.
Things are awesome. Yeah.
But I never bought Twilight Princess for GameCube, or at some point I did down the line.
Yeah,
but I never bought it during the GameCube lifespan. Mm-hmm. But I know that game was also at the end of it because the Wii was coming out, so they made it for both systems.
They did, yeah.
But then I never bought a Wii.
That's true.
So it was very weird. It was like, I just noticed that the early to mid 2000s, I kind of fell off Nintendo a bit. And I think it was because like PS2 was so awesome. Xbox was awesome. And then the 360 came out and I was just all in on the 360. Yeah.
No, so, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
All right. I can see that. Yeah, no, for me though, I mean, I picked up those games and I definitely, like, I remember playing Luigi's Mansion. I love Double Dash. It was awesome. And the controller, which is why I don't know why, the one thing Nintendo dropped the ball on with that Super Mario 3D All-Stars is the ability to use the GameCube controller for Super Mario Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have the adapter. You can use the GameCube controller on
Smash.
On Smash Brothers. Mm-hmm. I know some companies have put out N64 controllers that plug into the Switch.
Oh, that's cool.
But... yeah, they kind of dropped the ball on that one, in my opinion, to really get that true feel of using that controller.
Yeah.
But, yeah, even back on the GameCube, because remember, there were so many buttons on the GameCube controller. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was, again, Nintendo, you know, showing off the guns. This is what we can do, you know. A great game, just trying to incorporate more of a GameCube controller than obviously what they would ever imagine with a Switch controller.
And I'm actually looking at my collection. I'm trying to figure out what exactly did I play on my GameCube that I remember fondly. And the two games that stick out are Wind Waker, of course, and Batman Vengeance.
I never played that one.
And that was a great Batman game. Absolutely great. And obviously very underrated. I don't think a lot of people played it.
No, I don't think so. I gotta go back.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, so if you've never played Batman Vengeance, I urge you to go back and give it a shot because you won't be disappointed.
And I have a good collection of GameCube games.
Yeah, it kind of playing through Batman Vengeance reminded me almost of the animated series when I played through it. I think it had a little bit of a look that echoed that.
I think it had some basis on it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but obviously in a 3D environment.
Of course.
So... but yeah, really, really cool. But yeah, just realizing like I kind of neglected my GameCube. And now obviously going back, I'm starting to pick some stuff up again. But, you know, but with Mario 3D All-Stars, Sunshine, definitely I can say not my favorite Mario game. And I'm not saying that means it's bad. It's still fun. Just not my favorite. I haven't played Galaxy yet because I'll finish Sunshine before I move
Galaxy.
Over to that.
I had a blast with Galaxy.
I heard Galaxy is really awesome.
So. Yeah, that one's cool. So, you know, speaking of Mario, though, I want to give a quick showing here. This I picked up from the Nintendo shop, actually, and it was like a promotional thing. You know, like when you collect like the coins and everything like that.
Yeah.
For doing stuff, it was, I forgot how much it was, maybe 800 platinum coins or something like that. But I picked up a little Mario ornament.
Oh, cool.
So
very nice.
Yeah.
Thing. If you see my tree in the back, all the way in the back there, there are a bunch. Yeah. See it all the way down there?
Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. it's enveloped in light. I have a lot of video game ornaments on there. And the new one I bought this year from Hallmark was the Legend of Zelda NES cartridge.
You know, I was eyeing that, and I'm like, he's gonna pick that up. I know he is.
Oh yeah, no, I actually the other ones. I bought it like 2 months ago.
Yeah, that's when you got to do it. Actually,
yeah, because they disappear.
Did you see the other ones? They have like an NES system as an ornament. Hallmark does, and an NES controller.
Yes, and I'm probably gonna pick those up as well because I think at some point I want my tree 1 year to just be all video game ornaments.
Do I have any video game ornament? I have a Mario hanging. I don't think he's technically an ornament though, but I got him on the tree.
Yeah, no, I have a bunch. I have like the ball you just had. Like I bought a set of four a couple years ago at GameStop, like after Christmas.
Okay.
Of Mario, it's like Mario. It's a mushroom on one.
Oh, okay.
Yoshi's
cool.
on one. And then I have a Donkey Kong arcade. From Hallmark also.
Yes. I actually got those.
Yeah, and it actually you press the button and the music comes out.
Yeah.
I have a Link Legend of Zelda one where you press the button and the Legend of Zelda theme plays. That's so awesome. I definitely have a good number of video game ornaments. But I do that's one of my goals actually. And I was talking to my friend about that, my friend who's staying with me. Mm-hmm. That I want my Christmas tree to reflect basically experiences in my life. So in other words, like when you look at my Christmas tree,
fair enough.
You see, I buy ornaments for every, like places I've been, things I've done. So ultimately I'd like my tree to just reflect all of that stuff. So when you look at my tree, it's like, oh, what are all these things? Literally it's my life on my tree. But video games are such a large part. Like I would love to just make a separate or just have my main tree be all video game related.
Okay. Sounds like a goal. You know who's probably going to have some awesome, like, exclusive ornaments? Mm-hmm. Besides Hallmark?
Who?
But you're going to have to go to Japan.
Limited run games.
Shut up. You're going to have to run to Japan for it. Run. Swim to Japan. Because I'm sure the new Super Nintendo World is going to have a lot of exclusive ornaments.
Oh, I'm sure when next holiday season comes around, there's no question about that.
Or if you want to wait for it to show up in Florida.
No, I'm right. I will be as soon as I'm able, I will be going to Japan to see Super Nintendo World for myself. I will not be waiting.
So dropped this week, was a 15 minutes maybe.
Yep, 15 minute video
walkthrough of a fraction of the new Super Nintendo World at Universal Studios Japan. Shigeru Miyamoto, the self-admitted father of Mario and Luigi. He is their baby daddy.
I want to know who the baby mama is.
That's gonna be interesting to find one day.
Yes.
And he did an awesome walkthrough, and I gotta say, this place looks amazing.
It literally looks like you've stepped into the video game yourself. Like the colors, the design. Crazy. The just all the nuances, like even like I was watching him walk through, and as he's explaining like certain parts of the land, I was looking beyond him to see all the other pieces, and I'm like, the detail is just insane. And as somebody who's worked in theme park build, it's kind of like because you can just look at it overall and be like, all right, it looks really cool. I was like, but you know, I did work in theme parks for a number of years. Part of the job is just zeroing in on the details. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, they spared no expense. They went all in, and it's just absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
And they say it's like a fraction of the size. I mean, admittedly, like when you're watching the video, like at one point you're like, oh, that's it. But I'm guessing there's a lot more to it. As they said, but just to start it off, you just talking about the video. I mean, first of all, just when Miyamoto explained how they took time to try and bring some of this stuff to life, you would think, all right, it's just making oversized caricatures. But right off the bat, you enter through a warp tunnel. We've never actually seen what it looks like going through a pipe.
You're
in
correct.
Super Mario Brothers. So the way Miyamoto explained how they had to sit down and kind of think about it, it was pretty cool and kind of made sense. And even the very simple, very basic quality of it was like, all right, that would make sense.
Yep. The only thing that would make more sense to it, and it's funny because if you go to Universal Universal Hollywood, Mm-hmm. Universal Studios Hollywood is built basically on a series of hills. Mm-hmm. Right? So I had already said this to you, like to people at Universal. I said, if you don't make a slide, a pipe that you can go in and slide into the Super Nintendo world in Hollywood, you're missing out on gold.
That's,
I was like, that's a gimme. That's like, not everybody has to enter that way. You can go through a regular walkway, but you need to give an option as like a ride, or you know what I mean? Like an experience where you slide in the pipe, it makes the noise, and you get spit out in Super Nintendo world.
That would be awesome. Sliding down the pipe, you swipe your credit card at some point.
Yeah. No, it just automatically charges you as you're going down. It goes into your pocket.
Oh man. And then, you know, walking through, and you know, I don't want to give too much of it away. I mean, it's all in video, so don't get me wrong, but go watch the video. They take a nod from Disney with the wrist contraption.
It looks actually, if you're watching us on YouTube, it looks kind of like this.
Yes, like that. What is that?
This is Magic Band for Disney.
Oh, okay. The park,
I think they called it. Did they call it the Power Up Band?
Something like that. Yeah. Because the park is very interactive.
Yep.
Which also leads me to wonder what the lines are going to be like.
The lines are probably going to be insane for a long time. And also, fair warning, in Japan, people in theme parks know how to wait in line for a very long time.
They've practiced.
No. I mean, like, you know, when I would go there for work, and there's a dinosaur themed roller coaster in the Jurassic Park area.
Okay.
I've seen wait times there for like 8 to 10 hours.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
No, you look at the number. I'm like, wait, 460 minutes. How many, what is that? That's 7 hours and 40 minutes. And I'm like, what? And yeah. And the people working there would explain to me, they'd be like, yeah, they go, people will come to the park. They will get in line for one ride and that's their day.
Wow. All right.
They would just sit in line the entire time, I'm assuming talking and hanging out and playing video games on their phones or something. I was like, but literally all day for one attraction. And I'm anticipating that's what's going to happen in Super Nintendo World, unless they do some type of reservation thing.
Probably like what Disney does.
Yes.
But I'm more talking, not even like the Uber rides, like meaning like a physical ride, but I mean like the little things. Like, for example, Miyamoto showed off a, what'd they call them? Activities, I think. They just called them activities.
Yeah. There are just activities all throughout the land that you activate with the power-up band.
So what happens is, let's talk about the power-up band. So you link the power-up band to an app of some sort.
Yep.
And as you go through the park, first of all, there are question blocks all over the place, and you can punch them. And I can only imagine that's going to be different in the United States.
Oh,
because
no question.
The first person to punch it and then get carpal tunnel, they're going to own Super Nintendo World here in the US.
Well, we'll see what happens. But
in any event, like you can physically punch a power ball. And Miyamoto was hitting it. He was hitting it hard too. And you hear the noise of the coin, and then it registers to the band, which then registers to the phone. So you collect coins as you go. But what I'm talking about is that first interaction. It's like this hill, and it's got a Koopa Troopa walking back and forth.
Yep.
But it's an interactive game with POW blocks.
Yep. Yeah, and you got to hit the POW blocks at the right time in order to activate what needs to happen.
Basically, what's happening, there's a Koopa shell going back and forth within a pipe. And then you got to hit the POW block, which activates a second one, which activates a third one. And the idea is to time it so that, which I think is genius for a live, physical, interactive set piece for the shell to go up to hit the block and get a coin or something like that.
Yep. Yeah, and it's all about collecting coins. And on your app, it counts how many coins in the land you've collected. So I can just see people going into the land and spending the entire day just trying to get all the coins.
Oh, there's got to be, just walking around, you probably find some stuff.
Yeah, because if you looked at the app on his phone, I think it said like there were 170 coins in the land.
Something like, I think he saw it with 100 when he first showed it was 101.
Yeah,
because
like
he collected
that.
A coin. And then later on, there's like the underworld. He goes into, and
that was cool.
Yeah, and it's the lights, the interactives, the bombs.
Shrinking.
That's what I was going to get into. As you walk, so they take a part where he just walks forward. I'm like, why is the camera not following him? And it is, oh, look, because what happened was before that, he got blown up by bombs.
Mm-hmm.
So as you walk in then, and he's like, look, now I'm small. I'm like, wait, what are you talking? And then when he made the turn, everything was giant.
Yep.
I'm like, that is genius.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And then there's a king bomb. Well, not king bomb, but there's a larger bomb yep. there. But he didn't show because, you know, I have some stuff you want to save when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's hidden things in the wall. Like you scan the power-up bracelet against a Mario logo and you see like an 8-bit Bowser show up.
Yeah, that was really cool. So, I popped for that a little bit.
Yep. So very interactive. The ride that they kind of showed but didn't show in motion kind of reminded me of the Toy Story ride in Disney.
Yes.
Where you sit in a kind of a car or something, and then you get these virtual reality goggles, or excuse me, augmented reality goggles, and then you go around firing stuff. Mm-hmm. I think there's a ride light, right? Toy Story kind of does that.
Toy Story is just a regular, well, one of them's like a 3D.
Oh, okay.
One's a 3D shooter, yeah. And then the other one's like a practical shooter.
Yeah. But no, and yeah, this thing looks awesome. And then, of course, the restaurant looked awesome.
Oh yeah, the restaurant where all the toads work. It's not. It's nice to know that in the real world, they're just using toads as slave labor.
First of all, Miyamoto started getting frustrated with them.
Yeah,
it's like obviously it's a pre-recording of the video, but he's like, well, you don't want to listen to me? What's happening? No one's paying attention. The toads are just walking around. I'm like, does Miyamoto know that these things aren't real?
No, because that's how immersive the experience is. He thinks they're actually real. So.
But the food looked, oh my God, like the little pow block cake.
Well, first off, I hope people like mushrooms.
Yeah, a lot of mushroom.
A lot of mushroom related stuff. All right. Oh, can I just point out, yeah. Not even in the cafe, but the mushroom flavored popcorn.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't wait.
That's got to be a cultural thing.
In that way. Well, no, when you go to Japan, there are a lot of oddly flavored items. And I have to say, a lot of them are surprisingly good.
Oh, I'm sure. I'll take your word on that.
You will, yeah. until we go there, because yes. We are going to we're gonna take a trip. A trip there.
Listen, I'm game. So,
literally.
Absolutely. Yes. So, and then of course they finish off, Bowser's castle.
Yes.
Which looks ridiculous.
I know. It looks like it was plucked right out of the game.
No, it does. So, I want to, you know, again, your opinion, as you said, you've worked in theme parks, you've had your hand in some theme designs, like overall, what do you feel about this, you know, as an interactive experience? And also, again, he said this was only a fraction of the size. Mm-hmm. Do you even know, I don't know if you have any, not insider info, but if you have any right. deets as to maybe how big this thing is, and are there other quote-unquote levels?
There are definitely other areas in there, but my experience with it is based off of just what I've seen online.
Okay.
Even when I was working at Universal, they were very tight-lipped on it, so you could not get any information out of them.
Okay.
But... just based on the images and everything like that, I can say that even what he showed, yeah, I agree. It looks like it's just a fraction of it. And from, like I said, from the detail of his walkthrough, I can't imagine anybody being disappointed in this land at all. I'll give a good example for like a comparison. When I went to Star Wars Land at Disney, mm-hmm. right? That was the biggest thing everybody was talking. Oh my God, Star Wars Land is going to be amazing and all this stuff. And you walk in there and I get what and I understand what Disney did. Disney's idea behind Star Wars Land is they wanted it to feel like you were on a planet in the Star Wars universe,
mm-hmm.
which was fine, right? So you walk in and you feel like you're walking around in just this planet and there's like a trading post and all that stuff. But walking through it, it kind of felt lackluster because again, it's like hunks of rock everywhere. And there are a couple of shopping areas and a couple of food places.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to say it was, you know, I don't want to say it was terrible. It was just underwhelming. It was mm-hmm. like, okay, I kind of wanted a little bit more. And they were going for the whole thematic experience of like stormtroopers are walking around and they
total immersion.
Yeah. They were trying to go for total immersion. I didn't feel it. You know what I mean? Like, and I get it. I like, go look. I go, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm also not the biggest Star Wars fan. So it could be that mm-hmm. that plays into it as well. But yeah, so like, but now compare it to this. And again, I'm only going off of videos I've seen and stuff like that. I haven't been there yet. from the second you walk through that pipe, I don't even know if you can see the rest of the park. So in other words, like Universal Japan, specifically Japan, they're really, really good at separating you from the rest of the park. So yeah. Like perfect example is their Harry Potter world. You walk through basically like you walk down this pathway surrounded by trees. So it's almost like you're in a forest. Okay. And then you turn around into Hogsmeade in Harry Potter land. You can't see the rest of the theme park. So literally all you know when you're looking around you is like, this is all that there is. And that's exactly what this looks like. So it looks like once you go through the pipe, you're no longer in Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. You're just in Super Nintendo World.
I feel like that kind of reminds you going back to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I remember when it first came out, they were like, they're waiting for trees to grow to yes. block your view of like yep. the mountains of mm-hmm. California and stuff like that. Again, for that total immersion. So that kind of makes sense how you, know, you walk through the pipe. You know, you're in Peach's Castle, total Super Mario 64. I want to know the mm-hmm. first idiot who's going to try and jump through one of those paintings.
Oh, yeah. You know somebody's going to. People are just going to take pictures going splat up against them, you know.
But have you read anything about, because I don't remember, I feel like I remember hearing about there's going to be like Super Mario Kart stuff. Is there a Zelda? Is it going to be a Zelda world or something? Like, do you remember reading anything?
I can only imagine that there would be. Like, the Mario Kart is the ride in Koopa's Castle, obviously.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
That's what the Mario Kart experience is. In terms of Zelda, I haven't heard anything yet. But knowing Universal, they're well known for their expansions. And Nintendo, obviously, is so ripe for expansion. Mm-hmm. It's already got to be in the works. Like, I'm assuming. Like, I would think, like, if you think about Nintendo's library, I've got to think they're doing something. They've got to be planning something Zelda. They've got to be planning something Donkey Kong. Like, imagine Donkey Kong Country as like part of the Super Nintendo world.
Can you imagine that?
Like, they could have literally built a theme park on their own mm-hmm. with their property. But obviously they entrusted Universal with it. And based on what I've seen, Universal's not disappointing.
You know what? Let's just go straight to Wikipedia. What do they got? Universal Studios, Japan, Super Nintendo World is wedged in at the northern end of the park west of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yep.
So if you know where that is.
I do.
The pipe leads, exit, they entered two-level courtyard. Oh, here we go. On November 30th, 2020, it was officially announced Super Nintendo World and Universal Studios. First of all, it's going to open to the public February 4th, 2021. I feel like they gave a different date on the video.
No, it was February 4th. It was February 4th in the video. Yeah.
It was also announced that Phase 2 is currently in construction, this is all from Wikipedia, and will possibly be based on the Donkey Kong Country franchise in time for the 2020 Summer Olympics that now are in 2021.
That got pushed to 2021.
So you got Mario Kart Koopa's Challenge, Yoshi's Adventure. These are the attractions.
Yeah.
The Power Up Band Key Challenges, as they call them.
Yep.
All right.
So you already have two attractions to ride in there, and Donkey mm-hmm. Kong Country is coming.
And also, they're looking to open up Super Nintendo World, of course, here in the U.S. and Universal Studios Hollywood and Universal Studios Florida and Universal Studios Singapore.
Yep. So there's a lot. Right. Yeah. They're clearly making sure that that Nintendo World is available worldwide, and like in most of their parks.
Yeah, and each one is going to be kind of exclusive. Like the one in Hollywood is not going to be a cookie cutter copy of the one in Orlando, which is how Universal is anyway.
Yeah. No, they're not. They're not. Yeah, they're not copy and pasting. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. Like Harry Potter is basically the same in every park, mm-hmm. Except for Orlando, which has the second area of Harry Potter with Diagon Alley. Like, no, I don't think anybody else has that. But Hogsmeade was like a direct lift all across the board.
Gotcha.
So,
all right. So this is going to be awesome, though, when it comes here. So,
oh, I can't wait. Especially it's going to be in my backyard.
That is true.
As opposed to being in my last backyard. Would have been there too. So,
why do you just travel to wherever Universal Studios is? I should say.
Well, I did work for them. or by extension, you know.
By proxy.
Yeah, more or less.
All right. So, so definitely check out Super Nintendo World. The video, again, is online mm-hmm. through the Nintendo YouTube page. Let us know what you think about it and if you definitely plan on. Maybe are you waiting to go to Japan? Are you going to wait till it comes here in the U.S. or Singapore? Let us know. So, all righty. So I got one little thing here to mention, because I think I'm pretty much then tapped on my end. Okay. This was pretty interesting. Kind of a Easter egg, if you will. Mm-hmm. So the new Yakuza game, Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Okay.
It's either coming out or it came out. I forgot which one. But on the PS4, on the PS4 homepage, sometimes they'll be like, you know, you might be interested in. And then, you know, mm-hmm. they show the thing and they have like different pictures. So the on the PS4 homepage for Yakuza Like a Dragon, they had three different pictures. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, because it's three different, because it's a trilogy or maybe a quadrilogy or whatever. So it's the different games you can get.
Right.
Yakuza Judgment, Yakuza 0, or Yakuza 2. And it goes Judgment 0, 2, and the little subtitles underneath, besides available now, says the first one, solve a mystery. The second one, rewrite history. And then the third one, Dragon Tales. Ooh. So basically, someone pointed out it's DuckTales. Solve a mystery, rewrite history, Dragon Tales. So they like, they did a little...
They literally just
fun,
took it.
Yeah, they did a fun little nod to DuckTales.
That's kind of funny.
So that was pretty interesting. Very
cool.
Short, very tiny, but very cool.
Very cool. So, very cool.
Yeah, other than that, that's pretty much what I got.
Yeah, and I think before we close out this episode, yes. I just there's one very important question I need to ask you. Did you ask Santa for anything in the video game world?
No, because
you bought it all yourself.
I mostly already have it. Yeah. I mean, the Atari VCS showed up, so I'm good to go with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Santa can pull a couple of strings and get the damn Polymega here, that'd be awesome. That's February.
Cool.
But otherwise, no, because you know, Santa's already made his batch of PS5s and Xbox Series X's, so you know, I'm not gonna hold my breath on that one. Cool. But if he drops one by accident, you know, off the back of the sled, you know, that works for me. But otherwise, no, I'm content, right now with what's out. There's really nothing other than the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. Don't get me wrong, but there's really nothing out there that I'm like, oh, I got to get that hopefully for Christmas. But you know, I know some games are no longer available, so it doesn't even matter.
That's a very good point.
How about you? Anything have you written away? And
no, again, I'm like you. It's like I've kind of got everything I need right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually, for the first time, and I don't know how long, making a point to try and finish what I have. granted, I'm not going to finish everything I have, but I'm trying to finish the games that I currently have in motion. So I'm
terrible working that we're adulting.
I know. I'm adulting my video games. I'm working my way through. It's like, no, you finish your plate. I'm working my way through Miles Morales Spider-Man, even though I know it's a short game. I've been trying to spread it out.
Okay.
Working through Final Fantasy VII Remake, working through Super Mario Sunshine. So I've definitely got things in motion.
There are definitely, you know, I look at my, you know, what I have and I'm like, I just have to start playing through. Maybe like when I get the new couch, it's a new setup.
Yeah.
I'll feel more comfortable. I got a couple of days off. Between that and New Year's.
I think I might have a couple of days off. I'm not sure.
I hope not, because I'm gearing up for something. But in any event,
no.
But, you know, otherwise, you know, I'll probably just take it easy and you know, play the games here that I have. But let's just real quick, I do want to mention, we got to talk about Cyberpunk.
Yes, we do.
I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, talk about the ultimate letdown. I mean, people are just reaming it, and rightfully so. They've earned it, because if you don't have a PC, good luck trying to play this game. I mean, frame rate issues, glitches galore. I just read online that save states may be corrupted if they're too large. And when I say too large, I'm not even talking gigabytes. It's like if it's over 8 megabytes, it may get corrupted. It's like, and this was a game that got pushed back pretty much most of this year.
It almost,
I was
going to say, it almost got released in 2077.
Yeah, at this point. Yeah. And you know what? It may need to be in order to be right. But just very unfortunate for the company. And, you know, for the first time ever, that I realize that I know of based on a launch day. Sony PlayStation has pulled Cyberpunk from purchase from the store.
Not only pulled, I heard offering refunds.
That too. Well, yeah, Sony, I think Sony actually filed something against the developers of Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, and now even the company itself, not just Sony, but the company itself has agreed to offer refunds for anybody who's not willing to wait for the patches, which are going to start dropping, I think, next week.
And here I am thinking, oh, it's all because maybe, you know, people were upset over the very, very customizable person, male and appendages that you can work on.
Oh, you mean the ones that stick out of your pants?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and just kind of, you know, weeble wobble, but they don't fall down.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
You know, but no, it's actually fair. And I got news for you. The only grouping of people I see who have no issues, or at least from what I can tell, no issues with Cyberpunk, have been Stadia players.
Oh, interesting.
Because again, there's no hardware to run off. It's all being streamed. Right. So you should get the highest quality that
is. You get the PC experience basically with it. Yeah. And that's what it is. It's console players that are really suffering from it. But again, it's one of those things where it's like, it's one of the issues that I have with games today, in the sense of companies aren't afraid to release the game, even if it's buggy, because they're like, oh, we'll just patch it up later. And it's like, I was like, you're asking a lot for people who are dropping money for your game if that's going to be your response. Your game should come out 100% playable without any known issues.
That's like the game preview now, like PUBG. When PUBG first came out, it was $40, but it was a game preview. Mm-hmm. It was still in development, but you can buy the game and play it.
Right.
Even though it was still in development, now it's all good to go, and you know they're dropping new seasons and everything.
Yeah,
but it's almost like Cyberpunk should have did that almost.
Right, you know? Now you pay full price for the game, even if it's not completed.
Yeah,
and so. It's just at some point it's like, where when do you hold them responsible and say this is inexcusable? And I honestly think the developers of Cyberpunk, they're going to be the first of several, I think, that will get this treatment if companies keep releasing games that are, you know, either incomplete or have this many issues, or already it's like, oh, well, we know there are issues, we're going to send a patch as soon as we drop it. And it's like, No, it's like, fix it before you mass produce it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Was it an issue with like PS4 and Xbox One, or is it an issue like also for PS5 and Xbox Series X?
No, I think it's just, I think it's all the consoles.
Okay.
In general. Gotcha. Yeah, all the consoles are suffering from it.
All right. So. Well, Cyberpunk, come on, Keanu Reeves, get to work.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you know, John Wick, they need to John Wick that place. Like, he just needs to show up.
He's putting out comic books. I think he can do good with his own game.
Oh, he totally can.
Let me ask you one quick thing, which just dawned on me, separate from Cyberpunk. But so you have the PS5. When you play your PS4 games on the PS5, I imagine you've downloaded, you know, the updates or the PS5 version. Have you noticed any difference? When I say difference in gameplay, meaning like you can't access everything maybe on the PS5 version than the PS4.
No.
The reason why I ask, we talked a couple weeks ago from the Game Awards, the game preview, a world premiere of Back for Blood,
right?
Which is basically Left for Dead. Yeah. And June cannot come fast enough.
I know.
But it's available for pre-order right now. And I'm going to get it on Xbox, and I know by then I'll have an Xbox Series X or even a PS5. Excuse me. But I'm wondering, because now that these new systems are out, you can now specifically buy an Xbox One version or an Xbox Series X version. So, like, if I pre-order it, I don't know. I'm just trying to think, like, would I get, like, the full experience on the Xbox Series X if I buy the Xbox One version and it upgrades it?
Right. You will. I mean, I don't think that'll necessarily be an issue, but what I would tell you at this point is don't pre-order it.
Oh, no, I'm going to wait. Yeah, no, I was going to pre-order it just because it's going to happen, but you're right. You know, hold off on it.
Yeah.
The reason I also ask, because me and my buddies, and we're going to get you on, we play so late. Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2, we've been playing, and those are backwards compatible on Xbox One, but not all the DLC is backwards compatible. You can only download maybe half of them. So that's what I was kind of thinking about. But again, comes out in June, I'll wait. If I get a Christmas money, maybe I'd order it now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Pre-order it now, but I'll wait.
So. Now I got other games in the pipeline before I get to that one. So
we'll be done because, well, Back 4 Blood's not really, you know.
No, it's like a Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. All right.
And stop playing Left 4 Dead without me, please.
We play after we're done with PUBG, and it's already like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, then, you know, just a text.
So, but no, if we play early enough, I'll definitely reach out to you.
Awesome.
So, with that being said, Ant, where can they find us?
You guys can find us on Facebook.com/RetroGamersPodcast. You can find us at TheRetroGamers.com. You can find us on Instagram at RetroGamersPodcast, on Twitter at RetroGamersPod. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are absolutely everywhere. Or you can watch us on YouTube and Instagram TV.
Yes.
Or you can email us if you want to. Email at TheRetroGamers.com. For anybody who's listening on Tuesday morning or afternoon, yes, if you entered our Retro Gamers Holiday Giveaway Contest, we will be live tonight, either somewhere between 8 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time, depending on when I wrap up with work. And we will be giving away our 2 stockings full of retro gaming goodies.
So again, that's December 22nd. We will be live. Mm-hmm. To announce the 2 winners. So thank you everyone who's been signing up, and for those by the time between we're recording and you know, when it drops, good luck. Mm-hmm. And with that, Ant, have a wonderful week.
You have a wonderful week, and have a very, very merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well, and for all of you out there who celebrate, merry Christmas, and we will catch you everywhere next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.